I'm going to do a few sessions on fear, because it seems like that with all the stuff that's going on in the world and even here in our own city and different places, that there's a lot of fear. And so I just thought for a few sessions I might talk about fear. You know, fear is a crippling thing, emotionally and in every way. And of course, our key scripture for this that we'll base this all on: for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. Yeah, that I didn't give you the 2 Timothy 1:7 is the reference on that. Sorry about that. And now there are in the Bible, we can see this, but we know this just from the natural, that there are different kinds of fears. In the Word of God, we find a godly fear. It's a reverential awe of God. Psalms and Proverbs have a lot of references to that. You know, Psalms 31:19 says, "How great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you." And then Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And we could go on with others, but so that's the kind of fear is good. There's no torment with that. There's no terror with that. This is a good fear. This is a fear that we all should have. And that's to be in awe of God and his greatness and his goodness and so forth and so on. Now, there is healthy fear, a fear that we all should have. You know, part of our makeup that God has given us is a sense of when danger is near, to know what to do. You know, you might call it a wholesome fear. I call it a healthy fear. You know, a healthy or a wholesome fear is to when you look and you see a vehicle coming, you don't step out in the street. Or if you happen to be crossing the street and all of a sudden a vehicle starts speeding towards you, you get out of the way. Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, and if you get close to something and you feel heat, you're not going to put your hand on it.
No,
so that's a healthy fear. Now there's an evil fear, diabolical. In the psychological area, they call it phobias.
Yes,
right? It's a twisted, multiplied fear way beyond anything that you want to think about. And it affects our ability to act. It affects our ability to have a sound judgment. You know, now I can't pronounce all these names. There's 500, I think somebody said there's around 530 different phobias. I don't know. I can't pronounce all these phobias, but there's an anthropophobia, the fear of people. I can't pronounce these words. Then there's one, the fear of crowds. There's another one, the fear of darkness. There's another one, cardiophobia, the fear of heart disease. There's another one, altophobia, the fear of high places. There's another one, fear of crossing bridges. There's another one. I can't pronounce all these names. Maybe you can, but I can't, so I ain't even gonna try. The fear of passing by a high building. Then there's another one, the fear of new things. There's another one, the fear of dirt. Now, there are some people that wash their hands so much because they're afraid their hands are dirty until they become red and chapped if they don't continually put lotions on them. Amen. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Then there's the fear of vehicles. There's some people who won't ride in a vehicle because they have, there's the fear of motion. Then there's the fear of being alone. Then there's the fear of being in open places. Then there's the fear of being in enclosed places. Then there is ecclesiophobia. That's the fear of the church. I think there's a lot of people got that one. You know, and then there's a ecophobia, fear of one's home. Photophobia, the fear of fear. I guess that would mean that a person's afraid of being afraid. I don't know. Or a person that's afraid they're afraid or something. I don't understand that one. Hey, the list just goes on. And these have all been identified as fears. And sometimes in the natural, if we're not careful, we, because of what's being said and because of people with fear that's talking to us, we will, if we're not careful, we will allow some of this to creep into our lives. Sometimes unconsciously we do it. Now, these fears hold people in bondage. They can't live a normal life because of all of these fears. You know, there in the Bible it says, the man said, what I feared has come upon me. Right? Now, where and when did fear come to the world? Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. Go read it. When the woman saw the fruit and so forth and so on, she ate some, gave some to her husband. And then their eyes were open. They realized that they were naked, so they made fig leaves to cover themselves. And then they heard the Lord coming down to walk with them in the garden. And the Lord called, "Where are you?" And they answered, the man answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And then he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I said you couldn't eat from?" Now, fear was not a part until after man's sin.
That's right.
So then we could say that sin brought fear,
yes, sir,
into the world.
Amen.
You know, now the devil committed the original sin in heaven when he tried to overthrow, and then he came down and they yielded to temptation, you know. And so he said he was afraid. I want you to notice the action after the man had yielded to sin. His first action was to, he was afraid and he hid from God.
Yeah.
See, we got to understand that sin is what opened the door for fear to come here. And that's what opened the door for fear to get a hold of mankind. So then, fear is a companion of sin. Now, let me say this. Just because you have a fear doesn't mean you've sinned. Okay? What I'm saying is, fear come through or because of sin. Now, you understand that?
Yes.
You see, actually, when you do sin or do something wrong, then there's fear, then fear comes, fear of being caught. Fear of not being righteous with God. Fear of punishment. You know. Now, some of you have to think, I won't have to think back very far because I'm not that old, but some of you are going to have to think back a while. But think for a minute. You, as a kid, you done something wrong. And all of a sudden, when you realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then fear, oh, hope mama don't find out. Huh? And then, oh, if she finds out, then the punishment, the fear of the punishment. Hello, is that not correct?
Right.
So, now I'm not saying just because someone's afraid that they've sinned, or even vice versa. What I'm trying to say is that sin and fear originated together at the same place. That's all I'm saying. Sin and fear have the same author. Now, let's look at this for just a moment. The devil is part of the spirit world. He is a spirit. Right? He is a spiritual being. Just not the right type of spiritual being. Now, the devil also has some that spirits that rule with him. If you remember when he tried to overthrow God, it said that he had a third of the angels with him. So then they all got kicked out. So he got a third. That means two-thirds is left. So there's two forever. There's two angels for every one of the devils. Do the math.
Yes, sir.
So... Now, one of the evil spirits is the spirit of fear. It's called the spirit of the first 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You receive the spirit of adoption. Oh, you cry, Abba, Father. These verses show us that fear here is a spiritual. So when we're dealing with fear, we have to realize that we're dealing with a spiritual thing. See, sometimes we don't look it like that. You see, the works of the devil has spiritual roots. If you look at it and understand, sin has spiritual roots. Now, fear has various ways of coming on it and manifest itself in different ways, but the root of fear is spiritual. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. The root of fear is it's a spiritual thing. So, you're not going to be able to deal with it in the natural. Now, there are some things that you can do that can help, but to get to the root,
yes, sir.
You gotta take care of that.
Amen.
You see, all of you know that 2 years ago in June, I had a knee replacement for my knee.
Yes,
sir. Now, They could give me some shots in that knee and some different things that would help, but they were only treating the symptoms, not the root of the problem. And with the shots, it only relieved the pain for as long as that lasted.
That's right.
How many understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
But when they went in there and gave me a new knee, now we got to the root of the pain, and took care of it.
Yes, sir.
Let me understand what I'm saying to you. So you may have to, if you're dealing with fear, and many people deal with all kinds of fear, there may be some things in the natural you need to do, but there definitely you have to deal with it from a spiritual side. Now, you know, sometimes we look at something and say, oh, that's just a coincidence, that's a circumstance, and so forth and so on. No, behind it is a spiritual thing to get you into fear. And we got to realize that the devil works behind the scene to ensure that certain things come across your path that will drive you into fear. And we got, just like Cynthia Sert had, fear is a liar. Well, that's the truth, because where does fear come from? It comes from the father of lies, the devil himself. Now, whenever things are causing us a problem, we need to look past the circumstances and the situation and realize the spiritual action behind it.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
See, now look at this. Adam, he said he was afraid, but now his response to God, the woman you put here gave me this fruit. That's why I'm in fear, and that's why I'm in trouble. If you're not careful, you begin to try to rationalize, okay, this is why I'm this way. No, you're this way because the devil is using all of those things to put you in a corner. Now you got to go deal with the spirit of the thing, not with the natural circumstance. Let me understand where I'm coming from. You cannot deal with your fears totally through psychology, but you have to overcome it in the spiritual realm where the roots are. I didn't say that that wouldn't help some and that you couldn't have some help there. I know that for a fact that you can, because in my degree plan, I got about 22 hours of psychology and I studied some of this stuff. There are some things that you can do in the natural, but you're only going to treat the symptom.
Yes, sir.
If you're going to deal with the problem, you got to go back and deal with it on a spiritual level, because it is a spirit, the spirit of fear. The Bible says it.
Yes, sir.
Anytime fear comes, I immediately say, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Now I want you to notice that power, love, and sound mind. If the spirit of fear gets on you, you can't have a sound mind. If you ever notice somebody, when they get in fear, they panic, and they many times do the opposite of what they should do to save themselves.
That's right.
Is that not correct?
That's very true.
See? Fear will take your sound mind away from you.
Yes, it will.
And then you won't even be able to make a proper decision.
Right.
So then fear exists because sin came, and it is a spiritual thing. So to deal with it, we have to deal with it from the spirit side. Okay? Now, fear exists in the world. Why does the spirit exist? Why does the spirit of fear exist here? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells you, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. Talking about the devil. Well, we got to understand that through man's fall in the garden, then, you see, the Lord God had made Adam over everything in down here. A little, he was over everything. But whenever Adam sinned, he gave that over to the devil, and then the devil become the god of this world. Little g has nothing to do with deity, okay? I want you to get that. It says here that the god of this age, who is the god of this age? It's the devil. And see, all the evil things that that's happening in the world today causes fear to rise up in people. People are afraid to send their kids to school. In fact, I don't mean it's wrong, and it's all right if people want to homeschool, it's fine. But if you're homeschooling but out of fear that your kids are going to be contaminated with drugs or with this or that or the other, then it's, you're not homeschooling for the right reasons. And actually, and I don't mean this wrongly, but I go back to when before ever homeschool ever started, and I was here when it started, and most of the people that started homeschooling their kids was because they were afraid for their kids to go to the public school. Now don't look at me, and I'm not talking against it at all. But what I'm trying to say, what is the motivation behind you doing this? What is your real motivation?
Yes, sir.
Now, I realize some people are going to get upset at me. Well, that's your problem. But I didn't say there was anything wrong with homeschool. It's fine if you're on a homeschool. What I am saying is, if you're doing it out of a spirit of fear, then you have a problem.
That's
all I'm saying. If we do anything out of the spirit, out of fear, then we have a problem. I heard somebody say, after one of the mall shootings, I'm not going to go to a mall anymore. I'll go to some of the strip malls or the stores that are not in a mall. That's fear. Hello? I'm not telling us not to have some sense and watch and be mindful of what's going on, but I'm not going to let fear keep me from going into Woodland Hills Mall. I mean, we were just went on an Israel trip. A lot of people, you're not going, why? I mean, and I'm sitting in a hotel a mile and a quarter, I think. What? 1.4 miles. I know because that my son's sitting there. I'm sitting there talking to Ari and Shara Sokaram, who is Shara. Actually, her real name is Carol Lindsay. That's Gordon Lindsay's son. Daughter, excuse me. He had two sons, Gilbert and Dennis, and Carol was the oldest. And so in order for us to get our airplane to fly into Israel, you talk about strict rules, they got them. So I have to know somebody it's Israeli, or over there, and she's married to Israeli. And so I called her and I said, Carol, and I said, I'm sorry, Shara. I said, I've known you too long as Carol. But I said, and she said, well, yeah, it's all right. But she said, when they call and talk to me, ask me about you, what do you want me to tell them? I've known you since we're 12 years old. But we're sitting there in the hotel talking with Harry and Shara, and my phone, Craig, he did a text to me and his mama, and our phone started dinging, and he said, where are you? They're bombing. And about that time, their alerts went off on their phone. Well, there had been a shooting right down there. Did I get up and run and get? I didn't know. I didn't do anything except sit there and continue to talk. Now, I did say, I thank you, Lord, for protection. I plead the blood of Jesus. I didn't do it out loud. I did it under my breath because we were talking. I just did it, But if you're not careful, you being in a place like that, all of a sudden the enemy can come in with a spirit of fear. Oh, you better try to protect yourself. Well, Number one, I don't have no weapon. Number two, ain't nowhere to go except in that hotel. I sure ain't going outside. Anybody get a hold of what I'm trying to talk about tonight? You know, fear will make you believe a lie. See, a man, he is wanted by the law. And in the middle of the night, he woke up and he looked out in the yard and it looked like somebody moving in the yard. He grabbed his shotgun and started shooting. And, you know, he afraid it was the law slipping up on him, shooting his shotgun. And his wife woke up and said, "Silly, quit firing. Crazy idiot. That's my best dress hanging on the clothesline out there." Fear hinders you from thinking correctly. Anybody ever heard of a guy by the name of Stalin? You know, communism, Stalin. He had a constant fear of being poisoned or killed. He had 8 bedrooms in which could be locked up like safes in a bank, and no one ever knew which bedroom he was going to sleep in. And I'll tell you a couple more stories. In Barcelona, Spain, a truck was carrying an empty coffin. And so the guy picked up the hitchhiker, and so he was sitting in the back of the truck. And it started to rain, so he crawled in the empty coffin, closed it, and laid down there and went to sleep. So the guy had stopped and picked up 2 more hitchhikers, and they climbed in. They're sitting there in the back of the truck. This guy woke up, he opened the coffin and said, "Oh, it's quit raining." Those 2 guys jumped out of the truck. One of them almost killed himself. I'm talking about fear. What fear can do to you. A man was paying his parking fine at the police station, and he turned around, started to walk out, and he saw a lady sitting there just trembling, and he went over and said, "May I help you? What's the trouble? Is there anything I can do?" "No, thank you," she replied. "You see, I was sitting home alone reading my mystery story, and I got so scared I decided to come down here to finish it under police protection." Now, we're laughing about all that. But that shows you what fear can drive you to do. Fear will cause you to do things, like I said, crazy. Let's go back to our key text as we close this out for this session. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind." God does not give us a spirit of fear. He doesn't want us to be afraid. God made us a way to be free from fear. Okay? And, you know, anybody get anything out of this? I want you to, I'm not telling you not use your common sense, because there is the good fears. I talked about them in the beginning, right? The healthy fear and the awe of God. But we're talking about this fear that causes you to cringe and causes you to tighten up and not be able to think properly and to make proper decisions. That's not God, and it's a spirit thing, and it needs to be dealt with in the spirit. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few moments tonight about fear. Fear is real. It's talked about in the Word of God. But we do not have to succumb to fear if we will act right naturally and then realize that in the spirit world we have a right to demand that we be free. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Everybody stand, please. I trust you got something out of this. We'll do another session this next Wednesday night. You might want, if you know somebody's dealing with fear, you might want to invite them. You know, it might be a benefit. Why don't you thank God? Because you don't have to succumb to the spirit of fear. That you can speak to the spirit of fear to leave you alone. that you don't have to be involved with it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Well, I was planning on going another way tonight, but then the Lord began to deal with me, and I remembered this series that I taught several years ago. I taught it here in the church several years ago, but I never teach anything the same way anyway. My wife says I can go preach for somebody who has two services, and I preach the message the first service, and I go to the second service. You take the same text but never preach the same message. That's just me. That's the way I do it, I guess. But I trust you got something out of this tonight. Realize when the spirit of fear comes in and tries to get grip you, realize it's a spiritual thing, and there's some natural things that you can do, but if you're going to get to the root of the problem, you're going to have to go to the spirit side. How many understand what I'm talking to you about? Hey, connection team, go find our first time guest, take them to get that special gift that we prepared for them. We're so glad to have you with us. If you happen to be looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Hey, just come on here and join us. Be a part of us. We're so glad to have you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, don't forget all the announcements, especially bring some candy. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to bring candy. Tell them you're going to check and see if they did next week. No. Remember all the announcements. Remember Sunday morning right here. Praise the Lord. Come expecting, come believing. 9 o'clock, we have School of the Bible around here. If you're not a part of one of the School of Bible classes, you need to get to be a part. That's what makes a big church become small. Get involved. Remember, if you play music instruments and sing, hey, get involved with them, they made the announcement about it, so get involved. Praise the Lord. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm not going to give in the spirit of fear. If you need prayer for salvation, if you need prayer to be rededicated to the Lord, if you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. God bless you.